WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. As measured by the University of Michigan, consumer sentiment declined to an 11-month low earlier this month. The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index fell to a reading of 95. That's down from 98 in July and is the weakest reading since September of 2017. As indicated by Reuters, the decline in sentiment was concentrated among households in the lower third of the income distribution. Many of these households have been hit by the rising inflationary pressures that have become apparent in recent months as the economy continues to expand and the labor market continues to tighten. The Consumer Price Index has risen 2.9% over the past year, the largest increase since early 2012. The University of Michigan survey also indicates that consumer perceptions regarding home buying conditions are at their lowest point in 10 years. The housing market is being suppressed by a combination of acute shortages of properties available for sale, higher mortgage rates, and higher prices. Home prices have risen about 6% over the past year nationally, far outpacing wage growth, which continues to be stuck below 3%. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. There are a lot of people out there who have been married for 10 days. That's because August 18th stands to be the most popular wedding day of the current year, according to data released by Knot, spelled K-N-O-T. An estimated 30,000 couples got hitched in America that day, with associated guests spending an estimated $1 billion on gifts and attire for these auspicious occasions. Why was August 18th such a popular day to get married? Well, it was a summer Saturday, but also many couples picked the date for another source of significance. It's a palindrome, 8-18-18. Reverse the date's digits and you'll come up with the same numeric sequence. That's the kind of thing that gets many of us excited. Here are some more numbers. The average wedding hosts 136 guests. These guests spend an average of $261 on gifts, attire, and accessories, and that figure does not include travel expenses. For guests who do travel, the average amount spent is a bit more than $900. That's for travel, accommodations, attire, and other items. 34% of guests purchase the couple's gifts off registries, and 29% supply cash or a check. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. Though there continues to be much news about tariffs and trade wars, inflation and interest rates, Turkey and Argentina, America's consumers refuse to flinch. In July, retail sales were up 6.4% from a year earlier. As indicated by writer Harriet Torrey, that's more than double the pace of inflation. Growth in retail sales has been driven by stronger spending at restaurants, department stores, and clothing stores. According to economists at Morgan Stanley, higher spending on discretionary items like restaurant meals suggests that many households aren't too concerned by higher gas prices and that recently enacted tax cuts may be supplying a financial cushion. Also at the heart of the willingness of consumers to collectively expand their outlays is a strong labor market. There are approximately 6.7 million job openings in America, more than one opening for every person who lacks a job and is actively searching for one. U.S. production is also on the rise. U.S. factory output is up by nearly 3% over the past year. There are many implications to stronger consumer outlays and production. One is that Federal Reserve policymakers are likely to be induced into continuing to raise key interest rates to keep the U.S. economy from overheating. For WIPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by writer Andrew Duren, the unemployment rate among young Americans declined to its lowest level in more than 50 years this summer. That sounds great, but the low unemployment rate is due in part to the fact that the share of young people actually looking for work remains well below the peak attained in 1989. Among Americans who are in the category that includes teenagers, the unemployment rate was 9.2% in July, according to the Labor Department. This represents the lowest midsummer joblessness rate for youth since July of 1966. A year ago, the unemployment rate for young Americans was closer to 10%. The low unemployment rate among young Americans indicates that a tight labor market is helping to generate more opportunities for groups that have historically struggled to secure employment. As further evidence of this, the unemployment rate among older Americans who lack a high school diploma declined to a record low this year. The jobless rate has also declined sharply for those who completed high school but who never attended college. Among Latinos, the unemployment rate declined to 4.5% in July, the lowest rate on records dating back to the 1970s. For WYPR, I'm Aniban Basu. This is Aniban Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Economists take a lot of information into account when forging their economic forecasts. We consider money supply, fiscal policy, exchange rates, confidence measures, and many other indicators to put forth forecasts that are more likely to be wrong than correct. One item that many economists have yet to build into their forecasts is climate change. As indicated by CNN Money, virtually no mainstream economic forecasting model takes that into account. But there are a growing number of instances in which economists are considering the relationship between climate change and likely economic outcomes. A recent study that quantifies the economic impact of the carbon emissions that spur climate change was featured in a brief produced by the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. By evaluating the performance of state economies in prior years, the report determined that every 1 degree increase in average summer temperatures decreases annual state-level output growth by as much as 0.25 percentage points. These hits to growth snowball over time. That means that absent meaningful action, Americans will be poorer in the future and suffer lower living standards as a result of disruptions to daily life precipitated by extreme weather events. For WIPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Aniban Basu.